Great job. All right, Brother Woodard is going to come now, and he's going to share a little bit about what he's doing, but also I asked him to bring a devotional this morning, so those Bibles you held up high, continue to use them this morning and open your ears and your heart to the Word of God. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. I tell you what, this is the thing I've been looking forward to the most at this missions conference is being with y'all. We started out years ago. I started out in much of my ministry has been to junior high and high school students. So when I found out I was going to get to be with you, I got real excited. And I'm going to share something with you real exciting. So find in your Bible Exodus chapter 3. But before we read that, and Brother Magner, I got to make sure I get these names correct. Where'd he go? Is he here? Oh, I thought maybe he got mad and left. But anyway. I thought last night you just go preach my sermon. I thought maybe you'd peeked in my Bible and looked at my notes because my notes were right there in my Bible last night. I found out your wife wrote your outline, so I didn't think anything about it. But anyway, I'm just kidding. He had a great message last night. What a blessing. But real quick, if I could say that we've been in the country of Haiti for 25 years. I've never lived there. I get asked that a lot. But we go in and out of Haiti. We started off with opening an orphanage, helping a national pastor open an orphanage, and we now work with 15 national pastors. We have a new church plant that is thriving, a year old, and it is thriving, and I'm very excited about that. We just purchased a half acre of land. They just started building a church building on the property. Now, their building's not going to be like this building, okay? It's not like that in Haiti, not very often, but it'll have poles. And it'll have a metal roof, and so they'll have shelter, and they'll be able to bring their chairs from home to start off with till we can get them chairs or benches, and they'll sit there, and they'll have church on Sunday morning preacher for 3.5 hours, and they won't think anything about it. They'll have 17 specials, okay? They just love to sing. And so God is blessing there. We're getting ready. Last year, we put 20,000 New Testaments in Haiti, and we're getting ready to ship 50,000 as soon as they get them printed. 50,000 New Testaments in Haiti, 30,000 gospel tracts, and 36,000 John and Roman scripture portions. I thought it was 50. I found out. We have 100,000 available to us, but right now it'd kind of be a lot of work. So anyway, we're going to send 36,000 John and Romans. So you pray for Haiti. You hear a lot of things about Haiti. Some of it's bad, but I want you to know God is working in Haiti. The people of Haiti are wonderful. And it is a beautiful, there's parts of it that are beautiful. All right, Exodus chapter 3, are you there? We're going to read the first 5 verses. So you follow along as I read to you, then I'll make my prayer. And then I want to share something exciting with you. And preacher, I need to be careful about the time. I know, well, what time I need to be done? Sir? 8:50. Okay, we can do that. Oh, yeah, no problem. Okay, I'm going to talk fast. And I'm from Tennessee, so to talk fast is an effort on my part, all right? Verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called, notice this, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Notice this part, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now that last statement we just read is going to be an important part of where we're going. So let's make our prayer. Our Lord, we love you. I thank you for these young people. What a blessing to be here with them today. And I pray that you just would use me to be a help. And I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. We've opened our Bibles. I ask now, Lord, you'd help us that we would open our hearts to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about having a good perspective of what God can do in your life. Can I say that again? Having a good perspective of what God can do in your life. I thought about this early this morning. Your life, your whole life is before you. Now think about this for a minute. How many of you are 15 years old or younger? Wait, raise your hand up. My glasses are off, so you almost got to wave at me, okay? Now think about this. I am 50 years older than you. I'm 65. So think about this. Your whole life, you've got 50 years before you catch up with me. So your life is before you. This is important. And so your perspective of what God can do in your life is important. Let me give you a couple things here. Can I say to you that life is the sum total of all the decisions you make? I'm 65. I just said that. So my life today is a sum total of all the many decisions I've made up to this point. When I was 9 years old, I decided to get that I needed to get saved. Somebody told me about that. I thought, well, I need to do that. So I got saved. And then I won't go into all this, but I had to surrender to preach 3 times because nobody believed me, okay? And there are some people still that question whether or not God has called me, but I just go ahead and do it anyway because I believe that He has. So I had to make I made another really good decision, and I married that real a pretty lady back there named Miss Debbie. So life is the sum total of all the decisions you make. Now let me give you 3 thoughts real quick about 3 decisions that will determine how your life goes. Number one is what you decide to do with your relationship with God. What you do with that. See, you can go to Christian school, you can go to a good church, you can come from a really good, strong Christian family, but what you decide to do with your relationship with God will make a difference. Then secondly, the friends that you choose. Friendship at your age is the most powerful influence in your life. Choose your friends carefully. Number 3, who you choose to influence you. And by that, I mean the books you read, the things you study, the things you research, the people that you look up to and admire. Those things are important. Now, real quick, I need to hurry. In our text, Moses began a remarkable journey. I want us to look at this. This is what we looked at in the text in verse 5. Moses' journey began with him standing in the presence of God with reverence and in humility. God said to him, Moses, before you come too close to me now, before you draw near to me, I want you to take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. Yet, Moses, you're about to step into the presence of God. And the way you step into the presence of God and the way you stand in the presence of God is important in your life. Now, we're going to return to that. Then I want to see this real quick. God called Moses to a people that God loved. I want you to think about that in light of missions. God calls us to a people that He loves. If you're a missionary or you're an evangelist, you're a pastor, when you're a pastor, you're pastoring people that God loves. He loves them. And He wants what's best for them. So God called Moses to a people that He loved. But you know what? God may not call you to missions or into what we would call full-time ministry. I think all of us ought to be in full-time ministry in some way, because all of us are called to be a witness for Christ. Now, we heard a great message last night on making excuses. So I'm going to kind of use part of that message real quick. Don't make excuses. Take action. Don't make excuses. Take action and be obedient. Now, that's a big thing. We overlook sometimes the importance of obeying God. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, I believe in God. Well, believing in Him and obeying Him is 2 different things. Then number 3, can I give you this? What's in your hand? Now, I'm going to borrow this, a little bit of this thought from Brother Magner. This was powerful last night. I like this. And I'm going to kind of expound on it real quick. In chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, the Lord asked Moses. Moses has all kinds of excuses. And then the Lord asked him, He says, what is that, Moses? What are you holding in your hand? And Moses, of course, his answer is, well, he said, Lord, this is my rod. This is my shepherd's staff. And this is what I use when I'm taking care of my father-in-law's sheep. Moses was a shepherd caring for his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the mountain. And so I want to suggest to you that during that time, those 40 years he was doing that, that was preparing time. Preparing time for the thing God was going to call him to. Now, where you are right now, what you're doing right now, can I suggest to you, this is your preparing time for life. You're in a good Christian school. Now, you might not like everything, and everything at your house may not be perfect, but if you're here, can I just go ahead and suggest or conclude that your parents love you and they care about you? And can I suggest that some of them are probably making some sacrifices that you don't know about so you could be here? You say, preacher, my parents don't make any sacrifice. I just tell you what, I don't like this Christian school. Let me encourage you. You, especially you girls, sometime and you're wondering about whether or not your parents make sacrifice, go look in your dad's closet, see how many clothes he has, and then look in your closet and see how much clothes you have. Hello? This is preparing time. See, God's using this to prepare you for life. By giving you a good Christian school and a good home. I need to hurry. Let me give you this. I'm going to move on here real quick. Okay, number four, if you're counting. Moses surrendered to God's calling. Now, it took a while for him to get there. There's this long conversation. I love to study conversations in the Bible. There's a long conversation between God and Moses. And I study relationships in the Bible all the time. And one of the things I like is to study conversations. And I encourage you, when you read your Bible, especially you preacher students, when you read the Word of God, study the conversations that God has with different people in Scripture. It's life-changing. It'll open your eyes to a lot of things, to study the conversation. God is reasonable. God listens to us when we speak. God listened to Moses. But there's this long conversation, and then Moses surrendered to God's calling. At first he rejected, he had all kinds of excuses, but then he finally surrenders. Now look with me at chapter 4, verse 18. We're almost there. Chapter 4, verse 18. I need to read this real quick. Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go, return unto Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Verse 20, and Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. Notice this. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. You see that part? Moses took the rod of God in his hand. When that conversation was taking place, when Moses was in the presence of God at the burning bush, that was Moses' rod. That was Moses' shepherd's staff. But now he's surrendered to go. He's answered the call. He's obedient now to go to Egypt. So now that shepherd's staff is referred to as the rod of God. What happened? Can I give you this thought? God empowered Moses. God empowered that shepherd's staff. And Moses used that. Here's the idea. As we heard last night, Moses did not go into Egypt with anything he didn't already have. See, he was already equipped. But God had to empower what he had equipped. You follow that? God had to empower it. Now, see, you might be gifted, and you do have gifts. You have spiritual gifts, okay? You have your strengths, and you have weaknesses. Focus on your strengths. Build from your strengths, because those are the things God's going to use. But your talent that God's given you will not take you very far without God empowering you. God empowered Moses. When he surrendered, God empowered him to go and take on that assignment. Now, I want you to notice this. Go back with me in chapter 3, verse 5. I'm almost done, okay? I might even be done early. That'd be good for me for a change. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush is not burned. Notice this. I'm sorry, I want verse 5. I read verse 3. Verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither. God speaking now to Moses. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Here's what I want you to see. Moses was a great leader. Imagine this. Moses goes into Egypt. He confronts Pharaoh. Pharaoh's like the king. He's like the president. He's like the president and the Supreme Court and the Congress and the Senate, all of them. And Moses stands there. He's got the rod of God in his hand. He says, Pharaoh, God sent me to tell you to let the children of Israel go free. We're going to get out of here. He confronted Pharaoh. Of course, there was a long time, and God had to work in Pharaoh's heart and all that. But eventually, Moses is called in to Pharaoh's presence. And Pharaoh says, Moses, I want you to take your people and get out. I'm not going to do this anymore. I can't fight against God. I want you to go ahead and you take everybody, you take children of Israel, and you go. Now watch this. Moses led over 2 million people, we believe, over 2 million people out of bondage in Egypt. Isn't that good? That was victorious. That was amazing. That was a great accomplishment to lead 2 million people out of bondage in Egypt. What a great journey that was. But notice this. That great journey of Moses' life began with Moses being humble in the presence of God. See, if you're going to have a great journey in life, and you're going to accomplish things for God, you're going to have to surrender. You're going to have to be obedient. And you're going to have to be humble in the presence of God. When he took his shoes off, he was reverencing who God was. See, God will use you for great things, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a maintenance man, whether you're a mechanic, or whether you're a nurse, or whether you're the greatest calling for a woman. I got to say this because I don't like the way the election turned out in Virginia anyway. Thank you, preacher, for helping us. The greatest calling for a woman is to be a wife and a mother. Thank you, preacher, for helping us. Amen. That's the greatest calling for a young girl, is to be a Christian wife and mother. Anyway, so whatever God calls you to, you can have a great journey in life. You can do great things for the Lord. Got to be obedient. Got to follow him. But it will begin that journey, that great journey Moses had, that great accomplishment he had of leading 2 million people, started with him standing reverently in the presence of God. Can I ask you this morning? Here's my question. I'll turn the service over to the pastor. Where do you stand this morning? And how are you standing this morning in the presence of God? Thank you, preacher. Come.
God spoke to your heart today. Why don't you step out and come?